First reception of the word. But then the things of this world, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for things chokes it out, and it never comes to fruition. The Lord said in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. Let me say to those of you who are young again, most, if not all, money-making schemes require devotion. Most, if not all, money-making schemes require devotion. In other words, they want people who are 24/7. They want people who are going to devote themselves to it, to make it successful and to make themselves successful in order to be wealthy. They're not going to be satisfied with 40 hours a week. It may appear easy, may appear simple. I went to a meeting and this man stood up front. He was a young man. He says, listen, I've retired already. I just go around playing golf all day. Don't you wish you could be like me? And this was supposedly a Christian concern. And I thought to myself, that doesn't sound like a Christian motive. It doesn't sound like a Christian objective that I sit around and just play golf all day. Second of all, what are you doing here tonight if you just play golf all day? In other words, I think he goes around at night giving speeches. See, his day is just not, you know, I play golf all day. He has involvement. He cares, he concerns, he speaks with people, and I'm sure he does. Be careful. Those things that hold out great revenue for you, you know, many of them require devotion. And when we have a lust for money, it impacts our giving. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, they could have simply come to the assembly and said, look, we sold this piece of property and we got 100 thou for it. And we'd like to give the assembly 50. Well, they don't have to say it publicly, but they could say that to the apostles. We'd like to give 50. I would have been a delight. I've been perfectly fine. But they connived. They wanted to give the image, see, that they were giving a lot when in fact they held most for themselves. We don't think of it too often, but Acts 5 obviously follows Acts 4, and the end of Acts 4 tells us about Barnabas. And it says, Barnabas, he went and sold his property and gave it all to the Lord, to the assembly. In contrast to that, we begin Acts 5, it says, but Ananias and Sapphira, you see? They're in contrast to Barnabas, who sold it and gave it all, but they had to hold on. We become dependent on money. You know, we trust in riches. Mark 10:24. The Lord was saying, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? You know what 1 Corinthians 1 says, not many nobles and so forth and rich are chosen. Hard for a rich person and to enter into the kingdom. You know what's interesting? If trusting in riches would make it hard or impossible to enter the kingdom of God, isn't it interesting that we often want what keeps people out of the kingdom? We can lust for, want so badly, and become entangled with the very things that the Lord says keeps people out of the kingdom. Possessions. Luke 12:15. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Isn't that so different from the world's thinking? How do we measure a man in the world or a woman in the world? What do they have? What do they drive? Where do they live? What kind of place do they live? How wealthy are they? What's their bank account? What position do they hold? And the Lord says, look, don't be deceived. That's not what really marks, and that's not what life consists of, because ultimately these things come to an end and that person comes to an end. And also, isn't it interesting as you look at the paper and you watch the news, the wealthy people that are divorced, the wealthy people who commit suicide, the wealthy people who shoplift. Strange, isn't it? The wealthy people who are on drugs. Why? Because the truth is, their wealth hasn't satisfied them. In Matthew 6, where the Lord is talking about worry. And worrying about these things, he ends by saying this, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. What he's saying is, you know, when we seek them, we're acting like heathen people. He said, that's the way the heathens are. That's the way the Gentiles are. You're seeking and you're desirous and you're focused on gaining the things that the unbeliever wants. Your desire is to stay up with the Joneses. And that's a trap. Why? Because then the Joneses are going to keep up with you. And they're going to surpass you. And then you're going to have to keep up with the Joneses. And the Joneses are going to keep up with you and surpass you. And then you're going to have to keep up with the Joneses. It's a never-ending cycle, isn't it? It's an entrapment. It's entanglement. I can remember when Nancy and I were first married, and I guess Harvey, Betty could remember this too. I can remember when we were first married, we drove around and we looked at homes. Absolutely gorgeous. I mean, just gorgeous. And we thought, boy, you know, if I could ever make $10,000 a year, we could have a house like that. It's only $30,000. But you know something? That house that was $30,000 then, in many cases today, it's up in value, yes, but in some cases they're actually demolished because they're older now. They're 50 years old or something. The things that we want to put importance in have a way of ultimately crumbling, don't they? And so what you look at today and you think that's really it. If I get that, I'll arrive. Well, you won't. Because you have a two-car garage, they're now building three, and they're now building four. Paul speaks about those in Philippians 3 who mind earthly things. In other words, their mind is consumed. There's no room to think about spiritual things, eternal things. He speaks of Demas. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Not this present evil world. Not the sin of the world, not the pornography, not the alcohol, not the gambling, not the carousing, not the immorality. Just the present as compared to the eternal. And obviously Demas was entrapped. He was tangled in the present world. Be careful of the things we seek. We need to pause. Will this become a snare? Or we might ask, has it already become a snare? Debt. Proverbs tells us that the one who's in debt becomes enslaved, entangled to the debtor. The borrower is servant to the lender. Pleasure. Lovers of pleasure more than God, we're told, end times will be marked by. Proverbs says, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. I have to admit, I'm shocked at the prices of Hershey Park or Disney World. I can't conceive of a family of five paying the price it would take just to get in the place. I have to say I've been there, but I didn't pay those prices when I went. It's hard to believe what it costs today for the pleasures. And it talks about that which fell amongst the thorns are they which when they had heard go forth and choke with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. One of the pleasures that we're often guilty of is, we know it well, it's Romans 1:32. It's vicarious sin. We wouldn't do it, but we don't mind watching those who do. We have the movies, the videos, the DVDs, all the things that we can watch. And we can watch people do what we would never do. But we can actually sin vicariously. In other words, watch them do it and get pleasure from it. Very subtle. And in some cases, we become entrapped to it, enslaved. Time. Time is a precious commodity. By the time you take away work and sleep, little is left. And for some of you, the way you sleep, very little is left. Time is a diminishing resource. Think about that. It's diminishing. You know, you think of oil in the earth and all, we keep using it and using it and using it. We act like it's endless. I often wonder what's going to happen when all of a sudden we hear that sound of like a faucet where all of a sudden the water starts gurgling because the pump isn't working anymore. What's the world going to do? But what happens to us? We take time for granted and we just assume we have lots of it. James says, listen to the way the Bible illustrates time. First, it says it's a vapor. You go out of your house on a cold morning and you breathe and out comes vapor. You turn and it's gone. It says that's the way our life is, just like a vapor. It's here and gone and vanishes away. No wonder the psalmist says, teach us to number our days. In Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29:15, we read, our days on earth are as a shadow. Here the vapor is the thought of here and gone. The thought of a shadow is it's temporary. It has no real sustenance. It moves. You ever notice how the shadow moves quickly when the sun is setting? Life seems to move rapidly when the sun is setting. Psalmist says in Psalm 39:5, behold, thou hast made my days as a hand breath. He's thinking of the life. He said, my life isn't any more than just the distance across from my little finger to my thumb. Job says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Shuttle's going back and forth. The weaver's got his shuttle going back and forth. It's rapid. He says, that's just the way our days are. They rapidly go by. Can you believe? The end of the year is less than 2 months away. We make assumptions about time, don't we? And James tells us we shouldn't make assumptions. We shouldn't say, well, today or tomorrow we're going to go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Paraphrase it, well, I think I'll go off to college and I'll be there 4 years and I'll get my degree and maybe I'll stay 2 more years to get my master's. But then after that, I'll be interested in what follows and be looking for a job. And we talk about it as if it's a certain thing that we were down in Williamsburg one day this week. Talk about tragedy, and you would never believe it how it happened. A young man on the campus of William & Mary run over by a trash truck driving his bike on campus. Coming down, the trash truck made a right. He couldn't stop because the ground was wet and the leaves this time of year slid right under the trash truck, run over, gone. See, we can't make assumptions. We can't talk like this. In fact, we're told in James that, you know, he that knows what is sin, you know, shouldn't be involved in it. We need to be conscious of the fact that time is a diminishing resource. There are biblical exhortations, you know, to redeem the time, to use them wisely, to buy up the opportunities. You don't know, we don't know what time we have left. But I enjoy this. It says, set priorities. 1 Corinthians 7:29-31. I'll just give you the text, the reference. 1 Corinthians 7:29-31. And there Paul talks about the things that must be in the forefront. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they have none. Now, Paul was not advocating that we, if you're married, you walk away from your wife because time is short. And they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. He says to us in 2 Corinthians 4:18, the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Many examples. Paul, Moses, Hebrews 11, setting aside his place in the palace for the realization of what's eternal versus what's temporal. Christ. And then Paul says this, and I'll close with this, seek those things which are above. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and that's taught in the previous chapter of Colossians, that we died with Christ. And your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Since we've gone long enough, we'll end. There are other things that could be brought out, but think of this last exhortation. Set your mind on things above. And mortify, it says, put to death the things that are hindrances. We might have to make decisions to become untangled. We might have to make decisions to free ourselves from things, from lust, from desires, from commitments, so that we really have a free life, untangled, able, available to the Lord, available to the assembly, living focused on those things that are eternal, those things that will matter as compared to those things that will pass. How many things am I committed to? What are my commitments? What is the focus of my life? How free am I to give time to eternal things? How free am I to give time to eternal things? How free am I to give financially to eternal things? See, the untangled life. It's the way in which we're going to be able to be focused. And we need to be focused. And we need to understand that our home is not here. But there's an eternity ahead. And they are the things that matter. May the Lord enable us to live untangled lives. And if we are tangled, to be freed, to concentrate more, to focus more on His things and His interest. Let's just close in prayer and then we'll have lunch. Gracious God and Father, we thank You for Your word that is so pointed to us, so clear. Thank You for the clear warnings of the danger, the entrapments, the snares that are all around us that can unexpectedly, suddenly be sprung. We pray that You would guard our hearts and minds, that we would not be drawn out of safety, that we would not become involved and entangled with the things and the affairs of life to the point where we're not available to Thee and to Thy chief interest on the earth, the assembly. Help us to make decisions if we need to make them, to free ourselves from things that are taking up our interest, our heart, our devotion, our time, our resources. Each of us have limited time, and we pray You would give us wisdom in using it in a way that would bring eternal glory to Thyself. We pray for each of us who are here. You know each life, each position, the things that draw us, the things that would entangle us. We pray that we might be victorious over them as we focus on the Lord Jesus and things eternal. We thank You now for lunch. We thank You for the food that's provided. Thank You for the ability to eat it. We pray for those who are not here. We pray You would bless them today. Think of Carolyn Gessner, who's sick, and others. Lord, we commit them to Thee and pray You would raise them up again. Commit those who are traveling to Thee to go home. Pray You'd watch over them and give them safety. So we commit ourselves to Thee now, giving Thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.